Good afternoon and welcome to Talk Back. Sponsored by Doctors Record and Record in Second Village and by Stroke Awareness. And now here's the host, Betty Newell.
Thank you, Pat. Welcome to Talk Back About Health. Here we are the day before Thanksgiving, and guess what we're going to talk about today? Weight control. Pat's face just dropped over there, but anyway. Our guest today is Daria Brzezinski. She is a lifestyle management consultant. She works for a company called UNI Take Charge, and we're going to talk a little bit about that title because it obviously has some meaning. She has a background in education and psychology. Her alma mater is Temple University in Pennsylvania, but she is almost a native. She's been here 9 years in the Charlottesville area. Daria does seminars, workshop, and individual counseling on lifestyle management. Welcome, Daria. We're glad you could be with us today.
Thank you very much.
UNI Take Charge. What does that mean when we talk about lifestyle management and particularly weight control?
Well, what lifestyle management means is that we need to take a whole approach to looking at weight management. People often try fad diets or many other kinds of things, try to do just exercise, and they don't understand how the body works. What's really important is to understand how the body works, how fat is on the body, how we can do work with the body in terms, we don't have to do extreme kinds of things in order to be able to keep our body fit, but to do lifestyle changes is what's absolutely significant. Most of the medical research that's coming out today is talking about our lifestyles and how we need to change them. We've heard enough about smoking and drinking and how that affects our bodies,
right,
as well as how we need to stop sitting in front of the TV and eating all of the snacks or going to fast food places to eat.
Right.
And these are the kinds of things that we look at.
Okay.
Changes
are
difficult.
So in other words, taking charge is really what it's all about.
Exactly. And change is not easy.
Right. Well, we're going to be here for the next hour talking with Daria, and I have lots of questions, but she really is here to answer your questions. So give us a call here at 977-1070 with your questions, and we'll certainly try to address them. I want to take just a second to remind you that this program today, just like all of our programs on Talk Back About Health, are really designed to increase your general understanding about something and let you know when you need to consult your own personal physician or nutritionist and so forth. It's certainly not meant to diagnose specific problems. So, Daria, since we want to talk about nutrition or eating, especially, like I said, the day before Thanksgiving, and exercise and behavior modification, let's talk about them one at a time. But we already have a question, my goodness. Robert and Albemarle, what's your question for Daria?
I understand that there's some strains of TB that are resistant, and that if you get in an elevator with some of these people, you can somebody can cough and you can get this. How do you protect yourself against that?
Robert, today Daria is talking about nutrition and so forth. She's not a physician. Quite often we have physicians. Maybe you thought there was a physician today, but she's not a physician. That's not something I don't think that she wants to address. Okay? If you can call us back, we are going to have a pulmonary specialist on before too long, and just keep listening probably in 2 or 3 weeks, and you can ask him that question, okay? Okay, my goodness. Let's get back to nutrition. I know I'm guilty, especially the busier I get, the worse my diet gets, and I'm probably not the only one. You grab something, you eat on the run, and usually anything you can grab quick and eat on the way somewhere is not all that good for you, unless it's an apple or something. How do you deal with that? Well, let's talk about first, how widespread is the problem of overweight? I'm certainly not the only one with the problem, but how common is it?
Well, 1 in 3 Americans are overweight, and we're noticing increasingly that more and more adolescents are overweight. We jumped from 20% to 33% in the last 3 years.
Wow.
And this has significant effect with long-term behaviors and also long-term problems with health in the future. Many of our diseases we can link with overweight, lack of exercise, and lifestyle. lifestyle changes. And these are the things that we need to address with our youth very, very soon. We can't continue to go on in this way. In our health profession alone recognizes the fact that this is something that we really need to address.
So in other words, people may say, well, you know, I have, it runs in the family or something, but most of the time, if it's a disease, the weight has caused the disease, not vice versa. Can
well,
we assume that?
Actually, runs in the family is very interesting, because if you're in a family and if you're an adolescent, you're eating what everybody else is eating, with what mom and dad purchase at the store. So we really have to look at what is coming into the home. And I know I have two teenagers who...
who eat anything.
Exactly.
What do you think are the main contributors to so many Americans being overweight? I mean, we certainly seem to hold a record in the world on the number of our citizens that are carrying around more pounds than they should. Why do you think this is so?
Actually, we definitely are the most overweight society in the world. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that people are really not, I mean, we look at the television, we see advertisements. I mean, have you sat in front of the TV at night and observed how many advertisements there are for food? What does it do? But psychologically, you know, you want to get up and you want to get something to eat. I came from an Italian family, and overcoming weight was, and food and exercise and diet was you know, something that I needed to overcome for myself, because everything was manja, you know, everything was eat.
Absolutely.
And so the key for me was to learn about lifestyle changes and how I needed to look at what it was that I was eating and how I was eating. I never ate because I was hungry. I ate to
because
eat.
Everybody else, and there's so many social occasions that focus so heavily, and I use that tongue in cheek, around food.
Exactly. And the holidays coming up as well. I'm lucky I'm in a house with many physicians. My brothers and their wives are all physicians, and my mother happens to be a personal trainer. And I know the day after Thanksgiving, everybody's going to be out running or doing some sort of exercise. What we need to really look at is how important keeping in balance and keeping a behavior plan in your mind and in your psyche is for the holidays especially. Sitting down and having an apple pie is great, and having all the desserts is great. And what happens, and what people mostly don't understand, is what happens to their bodies when they do these kinds of things, and sitting around all day just eating. It's a very tremendous strain on the heart to keep the body moving constantly to digest our food. I think we need to re-educate ourselves in what is important for our bodies.
Okay. We've talked about, you said, you know, that lifestyle. Can you talk, maybe give us a specific example when we're talking about nutrition, the first part of the triad, I guess, and really taking charge. For example, a typical Thanksgiving dinner, you know, the turkey or ham and the works. Can you give us maybe some fairly, maybe straightforward ideas about what you might be able to substitute that might make a big difference? I mean, you don't have to be a martyr and give up everything. What are the things you'd want to watch most closely?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. Modification rather than deprivation is the key. And
that's a good motto.
Yes,
modification
actually,
instead of deprivation. Okay.
That's the motto of where I work.
Okay.
When we do programs, when people try to do all these diet programs or crash diet the next day after Thanksgiving, it doesn't work because we haven't really changed our mindset. And one of my suggestions would be to sit down with a smaller plate when you eat. In that way, it looks like a lot more, even though you may have a smaller plate. Eat slowly. Don't eat so fast. We're in a society where we are rushing constantly on the run. And believe me, I teach best what I most need to learn. I also need to learn all of these things. I'm always looking at weight management, and, you know, I don't want to change my whole wardrobe in order to be able to accommodate my weight going up and down. For the holidays, I would also stress watching your calories.
Let's look at the typical holiday plate, and what can we easily or readily substitute or leave off? Maybe we've got the turkey and gravy and dressing. What are the bad guys there? I guess, you know, the old saying is the better it tastes, the worse it is for you, but that's not necessarily true, I guess.
Well,
do we have to give up the turkey?
That's up to you. I'll tell you, though, that 3 ounces of dark turkey meat with the skin is 221 calories.
Well, how can you reduce that easily?
I would suggest taking a little bit less.
Well, how about the white meat? Is that less?
Yes, it's a little bit less.
And isn't the skin,
It's 157 calories.
Okay, so you could actually, if you get the white meat without skin, you may not have to give up quite as much and still get rid of some of the calories,
exactly.
Right?
What I would also suggest is more fiber in your diet. The more fiber you have in your diet, the more the body is able to eliminate the fat. If you're just going to sit down and eat the proteins and the carbohydrates and the desserts, your body really doesn't have any ability to be able to let go of that fat. So my suggestion would be to have whole wheat bread or salads or some kinds of vegetables, exactly, that will help you. Start off breakfast with a whole grain meal that will help you in the course of the day. And also don't try hard to eat your large meal in the middle of the day, so you'll be able to burn up the calories throughout the day, as opposed to having it late at night where it's laying in the body and not able to be digested.
Don't a lot of us tend, though, to, you know, you wait till the end of a busy day and then you sort of, you haven't eaten much all day and you think you're going to make up for it before the evening's away?
That's probably the worst time of the day to eat.
Okay, we need to take our first break here. We're here at 977-1070. We'll be back after some announcements to answer your questions about weight control. Be back in a few minutes.
Stroke can strike at any age, at any time. You may be having a stroke if you feel any of these warning signs. Weakness or numbness on one side, trouble talking, trouble understanding what people say, or sudden lack of vision. If you think you're having a stroke, strike back. Get to a hospital right away. Saving time could save your life. For more information, call the stroke hotline at 804-295-9557.
Rediscover Monticello Museum Shops this holiday season. You loved it as a child. Enjoy it even more today. Find an unsurpassed collection of commemorative silver dollars, museum reproduction jewelry, traditional toys, and the most comprehensive selection of books on Thomas Jefferson. All this, no crowds, and personal service at the Monticello Museum Shops. Open every day 9 to 4:30, closed Christmas Day. The Monticello Mountaintop Shop and the Visitor Center Shop on Route 20 South.
Time change stinks, doesn't it? Sure, you get an extra hour of sleep, but don't you want to just stay in bed anyway? Well, Brady Bushy Ford Jeep Eagle can make it easier for you to get up in the morning. Hey, November is truck month at Brady Bushy Ford Jeep Eagle. That means Brady Bushy's going to ask you to get truck. When you buy or lease any new F-Series pickup truck during November, Brady Bushy will not only give you the best price on your trade-in, they'll give you a great deal on your new truck. In addition, each and every F-Series lease or purchase comes with a new bed liner. Brady Bushy Ford Jeep Eagle has a huge selection of F-Series pickups to choose from. 2x4s, 4x4s, manuals, automatics, F-Series, with all the bells and whistles. Or with just a few of them. So maybe buying or leasing a new F-Series from Brady Bushy during November does make it easier to get up in the morning. I mean, hey, with a new liner, at least you never have to get up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, anyway, sale going on now through November 30th at Brady Bushy Ford Jeep Eagle, Pan Tops Mountain, Charlottesville.
Betty Newell here. Welcome back to Talk Back About Health.
We're here at 977-1070, and we have a call from Dorothy. Dorothy, you've been very patient waiting while the break was on. What questions do you have for Daria?
Value has this lifestyle. How can it help, if at all, heart trouble, heart problems, and diabetes?
Well, I'd like to stress the fact that I'm not a nutritionist. I teach lifestyle management. We do have a nutritionist.
Dorothy, we're going to drop the line. There's a lot of background noise, and then you can listen to the radio for Daria's answer, okay?
Okay. As far as heart problems are concerned, we know that that's the number one issue with men, especially in the United States today. And a lot of that has to do with overweight and lack of exercise. And much of the research right now that's coming out from the American Medical Association is talking about how changing your lifestyle, cigarettes, alcohol, dropping your weight, and keeping yourself fit can improve your health. I read a statistic the other day that for every pound of overweight that we have is another 5 years that our life can be at risk with disease. So obviously this ability to manage our life and take charge of our life will be able to help us in terms of disease prevention.
Okay. We were talking a little bit about the nutrition part, the eating part, but we said there are three parts to the weight control. Can we talk a little bit about exercise? I mean, you know, who has time to exercise? Geez, you barely have time. You feel like you get enough exercise just rushing around, get ready to go to work and go home and chase after kids, chase after the dog. What do we need to do in the exercise area?
Well, I know exactly what you mean. I feel like I have three careers sometimes, maybe even four. And I find that for me, as with many, many people, going out to a fitness club and doing those kinds of exercises is not appropriate, especially if you have young children. I go out dancing. I dance with my children at the house. I will get up a little bit earlier and run or walk. There are many, many forms of exercise. It just doesn't have to be at a fitness center or going swimming. However, the more physical the activity, the more we burn off the fat. Also in conjunction with that is something that I think is extremely important, and that is something that I think we've very much overlooked, and that is drinking water. We all think about washing the outside of our body and keeping that clean, but we never really think about the inside of our body. And drinking 8 glasses of water a day is absolutely significantly important to wash out the fat and get rid of the waste in the body.
Eight-ounce glasses? Don't you slosh if you drink that? That sounds like that's liquids. I mean, if you drink milk
exactly.
Or juice, seems like you'd slosh if you drank that much, Daria. Okay. Now, obviously, you know, we've had some physicians that have been on before talk about the importance of making sure that if you have a health problem that your physician clears any kind of an exercise program that you do. But
actually our program is in conjunction with physicians, the fitness center and nutritionist.
Oh, okay.
It's all working, they're all working together for a healthier person. There is no one individual. We feel it's extremely important for people to work in conjunction with their doctors.
Right. Well, what about sort of the third part? And this I would imagine maybe is the long-term thing that's also probably the most difficult. How do you go about modifying behavior? And we'll remind folks we're here at 977-1070 because they may have some questions or comments about this. This is the one I'm wondering about. We need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about behavior modification and what the implications there are, okay? We'll be right back.
You know, certain things are difficult to do while you're wearing glasses, like hanging upside down on the monkey bars or playing.
Hi, Betty Newell here with Daria Brzezinski. talking about weight control on the day before Thanksgiving. Daria, we talked about eating and nutrition. We talked about exercise. And now the difficult one, behavior modification. And we're going to talk about it in a few minutes. And then if you have questions for Daria that we don't cover, we're here at 977-1070 to answer your questions. Okay, behavior modification. That's a long, complicated sounding term. What does it really mean?
Well, obviously, we are a society of people who do things. We do things automatically. One of the interesting aspects I always look at is children walking around all over with pacifiers in their mouth. We seem to be an orally fixated society right from the very, very early stages of life. People constantly are, you know, if we're crying as children, there's something put into our mouth. And this is a behavior pattern which we start with at a very, very young age. And if people would only understand that this is an ongoing kind of thing. I mean, I look at the shapes of bottles and things, and it doesn't look any different from a baby's bottle. This is something now that we have to overcome when we get to adulthood in terms of constantly putting things in our mouth when we're angry, when we're upset, when we're frustrated, when we're on the run. And we do it automatically because it's a pattern of behavior that we've developed from a very early age.
A question. Some people, when they're upset, they don't eat at all and they lose weight like crazy. Other people, when they're upset, they stuff themselves. I mean, is this just sort of
one extreme or the other of the same sort of phenomena. One is neither good nor bad. From one extreme to the other. I mean, some people think that starving yourself is a better alternative. However, it really isn't, because it also hurts the body as well. Functions of the body begin to break down, and so neither behavior pattern is significant. The process that we find that we use at UNI is very effective because it's a support system, and in this way, we can help people change their behavior patterns. You know, if you've ever gone through Alcoholics Anonymous or smoking cessation, that if you have somebody who's there for you, who's there to support you in the process, it makes it a much easier transition. You have somebody to talk over your problems with.
So you call somebody if you start eating a hot fudge sundae.
Sort of, yes. Okay. Obviously, we use physicians and nutritionists and the fitness clubs within our program to help people work on all the separate aspects. Also, when we're talking about behavior modification, we are a fast-paced society, and people eat on the run continuously. The way to deal with those, we're not going to give up stress in our society. It's here to stay. We're all a part of it. The key is, instead of taking the candy bar or the sweets, the potato chips, the pretzels, whatever it is that you're carrying around for your lunch or it's easy to buy right around the corner, constantly make yourself motivated in the morning. Prepare an apple, a banana, grapes. The alternative is eating on the run, the kinds of foods that you want your body to take into your body. I'm one of those people too. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've eaten my lunch in the car on the way to one meeting or another.
Right. And you're going to eat whatever's handy. So your point is keep handy what's better for you than what you may just run in and buy at the fast food store.
Exactly.
Is there any way to eat a reasonable meal from the fast food? I mean, it's gotten such a bad rep. It seems like they're trying to be more responsive to some of the nutritional concerns. Is there some reasonable meal you could get from a fast food?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, as I said before, I have teenagers who occasionally want to go to fast food stores, and I won't name the specific names, right. But you can go and have a baked potato or a salad at the salad bar. You can be a part of that and be social, because a part of eating is also, and drinking and smoking is also
a very
social aspect.
That's right.
I was one of those people who did the extreme, and I went all the way to the other extreme and became a raw foods person. And what I discovered was that socially, people feel uncomfortable. And so, you know, we all have to be a part of society as well and be with everyone. And so what we have to do is accommodate ourselves and not be an extreme and be able to accommodate our lifestyle and our diet with everyone else. You can go to any restaurant today and get a meal You can start off with fruit as an appetizer, with a fruit bowl or a piece of grapefruit. There are all kinds of things you can do. You don't necessarily have to eat a high-calorie, high-fat diet.
Or asking, sometimes just leaving off the sauces or leaving off the dressings and things like that.
There are many times when I take my own dressings and sauces with me when I know I'm going to a restaurant that doesn't accommodate the way I eat.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. I have a friend that carries around her own little powdered milk for creamer as opposed to the more fattening things.
I used to be addicted to coffee. I drank about 4 pots a day, and so I went to a coffee substitute, which is a grain, and I order tea with a bag on the side and then put my coffee substitute in it wherever I go.
What, a grain substitute?
Yeah. There are, you remember the Postums and the Incas and those kinds of things.
Oh, yes. They still make that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have certainly
there are alternatives to everything.
That's right. Okay, we're going to break for the local news, and then we'll be back here at 977-1070 to answer questions you have about weight control and lifestyle management. News at 15, 35, and 55.
I'm meteorologist Dave Bowers with a Charlottesville area forecast. It's going to be a...
Hi, Betty Newell here with Talk Back About Health. Our guest today, Daria Brzezinski. We're talking about lifestyle management, and more specifically, since it just happens to also be the day before Thanksgiving and all the turkey dinners and so forth, we're talking about weight control. Daria, would you like to pick up? We're here at 977-1070 with questions for Daria. Can you want to pick up where you were talking about behavior modification and how we focus so much on food?
Yes. One of the aspects we were talking about before we left was fast eating. And I wonder how many people really consider the foods that they're eating, the nutritional value, let's say for the frozen foods that we use to pop in the microwave, and how much fat and salt content there are. Not only that, but there is very, very little fiber and very little nutritional value in those kinds of things. If people would only look at the fact that this is really what I might call non-food, we're really not doing any service to our body when we do these kinds of things. And we really need to re-educate ourselves on what is really important in terms of taking in food in our body.
One of the things that we said we were going to talk about was the relationship between people when they try to stop smoking and weight. That seems to be, you know, like, are you better off or worse off if you stop smoking and gain 50 pounds? How do you deal with that?
Well, speaking from a person who smoked 4 packs a day.
And, wow. and still quit, a size 6.
And still a size 6. Yeah. I wasn't always a size 6, especially after I quit smoking. However, there's a transition stage. And we talked about before the behavior modification and the oral fixation. What happens is when you go from one oral intake to another... you have to really look at that. And what we do is, what we do in our program is we show people that what they are putting into, again, we show them that when you do quit smoking, you are going to probably look at trying to be putting things into your mouth again, and people will gain. I gained 25 pounds after
wow.
I quit smoking. There's a transitionary stage, and then the transitionary stage, is that you need to begin to understand that what kinds of things you are putting into your mouth. And you also need to understand that your body's going to detoxify. You're going to need vitamins. B6 and B12 are two of the most essential vitamins that depletes the body when you do smoke. And so this is something that is going to be happening when you stop smoking and try to, your body's going to have cravings. And these are all the kinds of things that you need to look at. I stopped smoking by myself and didn't understand any of these things. I learned everything after the fact.
Learned it the hard way,
yes,
right?
Exactly. So I'm very grateful to be able to talk about it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you all use something for the behavior modification, something like a 12-step program, I think you described it. Can you kind of lead us, you know, quickly through, some of the major steps?
What happens in the, obviously it's a 12-step program again. Right. It's a 12-week program. It's under the auspices of your physician, and the nutritionist helps you through. What happens is that we understand this transitionary period, and some people who try to go off or stop something find that it's very difficult to feed themselves because they don't know exactly what to eat and they want to do the right thing. Yeah. We do have things that we provide for the people in the 12-step program to process them through the transitionary stage, and we only focus on one meal that they really have to look at. The other meals are provided by us until they get to the process where they understand about food, about calories, about diet, and then, you know, they're off on their own. Again, the whole process is observed and moderated by someone who is a support system for you to go through the program.
Well, are you going
to
be starting a seminar series at the Jefferson Madison Life? Is it the one here in town?
Yes.
Downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about that? Maybe if people are interested, a number they could call?
Yes. Well, some of the physicians in town and some of the health professionals and I were talking, and everyone realizes that there's only two chapters in a textbook that physicians really get their entire educational process regarding nutrition. And so we, in our discussion stages, we decided that it would probably be a good idea to have some kind of seminar series for the general public and for physicians themselves to learn about prevention and lifestyle changes.
So when is it going to start?
It will be starting December 20th at the Jefferson Madison Library.
Just before Christmas, Daria, my goodness.
Well, guess what we'll be talking about? The problem with the health care in America,
right.
And as a physician as well.
Now, is this evening, daytime, or what?
7 to 8 p.m. Every Tuesday evening at the Jefferson Madison Library.
And what is the charge for this?
It's free to the public.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's we have speakers all the way to May. Every Tuesday evening, they will be physicians, dentists, psychologists, psychiatrists, registered dietitians. Everyone will, a different part of the aspect of the medical profession.
Okay. We need to take our last break. When we come back, get your pencils ready, and we'll give you the number that you can call if you need. Do they need to sign up? Just show up,
okay. But we do have a number.
Okay, we'll be back here in just a few minutes to finish up with Talk Back About Health. Here we have a couple of calls, Jeff and John. We'll get to you in just a second. Daria, can you give us the phone number that we promised people in case they have questions right quick, and then we'll try to get to our call-ins?
Sure. The 800 number is 1-800-782-3444 or 977, if you live in Charlottesville, 977-5720.
Okay, good. Okay, John, we'll get to you in just a second. Jeff, you're first. What's your question?
Hi. There's been a lot of media lately about the positive effect of alcohol as far as, you know, and having one drink a day and such. And I want to know what her view on that is.
Okay, thank you. What do you say to that, Daria?
Well, all I can say is I'm really not a nutritionist, and I don't really know the effects of alcohol on the body, but I can tell you that I know, and I've studied the chemical composition of what is in alcohol, especially wine in this country, and I don't think I would want to drink it. I don't know about the medicinal effects, although I must say that I have heard that there, you know, are medicinal effects in terms, but then it's a fruit, so why not drink fruit juice instead?
So obviously moderation is most definitely a key there.
Exactly.
It goes without saying. Okay, John, what is your question?
Hi. First of all, let me give you a comment. I think that you all have touched on some very important areas, and it's been quite informational. You gave it the information about the lecture series, but I didn't catch what date they were going to begin.
When do they start, Ryan?
Oh, they start December the 20th. Which is a Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Jefferson Madison Library, and they will be continuing on until May the 2nd.
Every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday,
evening.
7 to 8.
Hey, great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You're sure welcome.
Keep up
Thanks.
The good work.
Okay. Did you have a comment to make to that, Daria?
The professionals who were going to be participating had suggested that perhaps in the spring we also, as a culmination of all these activities, perhaps we have a seminar for an entire day or a conference on prevention.
Oh, wow, that's great.
For people
great.
In the Charlottesville area.
Prevent the problems rather than try to cure them after they get started.
Exactly.
I want to take a second here to let folks know what's coming up next week, and then we'll ask you to sort of leave us with some parting words as we leave for the day. As you know, it's getting cold and wet and all those things that happen when winter comes along. Sometimes we forget about what happens to our feet when they get cold and wet, other than just being uncomfortable. It can cause a lot of problems. Next week, Dr. Michael Goldman, who's a podiatrist here in town, is going to be talking about how to take good care of your feet in cold weather. So, Daria, you have about 40 seconds to sort of summarize. What parting thoughts would you like to leave people with?
Well, we are a nation of crisis intervention and crisis management, and it's time we get to the cause of the problem and begin to take charge of our own lives through lifestyle management and changes in our behavior.
Okay, so modification, not deprivation.
Exactly.
Is that a good one? Well, we want to thank Daria Brzezinski from UNI Take Charge for being our guest today, and this is Betty Noor from the Charlottesville Free Clinic saying goodbye for today and happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week here on WINA from 3 to 4 when Talkback is all about health.
And WINA's Talkback About Health is sponsored by Doctors Record and Record in Sachem Village and by Stroke Awareness.